Did want to mention this morning that Brad and Wanda are here visiting with us today, and they're up caring for parents, and so if you have a chance here after the service, say hello to Brad and Wanda. I'm sure they'd be happy to greet you this morning, so we're glad to have them here today. This morning, we are going to continue in the book of Psalms, and I shared with you last Sunday that here during the month of November, I'd like for us to stay in the book of Psalms, and I'd like for us to think about the subject of Thanksgiving, because Thanksgiving is certainly, you know, something that we celebrate every November. And, you know, we set aside that Thursday and we gather with friends and family, and our Thanksgiving celebration, maybe it goes on for a couple of days. But Thanksgiving really should be one of those things, especially when we think of all that God has done for us, that really should be every day. It should be something that's in the spirit of the Christian to give thanks for all that God has done. Last Sunday, we looked at Psalm 95, and Psalm 95 was a worship psalm, and there we really saw that the psalmist wrote about being thankful for the ability to worship. And as we go through this series over the next couple of weeks, we'll continue to look at different themes that we find here, things that we should be thankful for, whether it's worship or God's mercy, His enduring mercy, His love, His faithfulness, the faithfulness to His people. Last week I shared that sentence that's there on the screen with you. Great blank comes from reading the Psalms. And so we could plug in worship. Great worship comes from reading the Psalms. We could plug in words like comfort. We could plug in words like wisdom. We could plug in a lot of different things as we read through the Psalms. And as we see each one speaking to us and giving us any number of things for which we could be thankful for. As I prepared this week, I was kind of juggling two messages. I was juggling a message for last night's love feast, and then I was also juggling the message for this morning. And as I sat down, and I don't remember what evening it was now, and kind of shifted my focus from the love feast message to today's, I was just really amazed at how the Lord allowed things to move very quickly with this message. And I think that if we really look at the words this morning, they're words that are convicting to us about how we should be thankful. But I think they're also words of challenge that we might make sure that as we go through this month where we would celebrate Thanksgiving, that we would make it our effort to be thankful for the things that we go through. One of the key phrases that we'll see here in Psalm 107 is, "Oh, that men would give thanks." And that's the title for this morning's message, "Oh, that men would give thanks." And as I did some studying, I came across the New Bible Commentary, and it said this. It said, "One of the enduring delights of this psalm is repetition." And, you know, they always say that repetition is one of the keys to memory. So if you repeat things over and over again, it's like it sticks. And I don't know about you, but sometimes that's what I need. I need that repetition kind of beating into this old hard head of mine to get something to stick in there. And so I kind of wonder if that wasn't part of the purpose of the psalmist here as we look at this psalm. Was the psalmist trying to repeat those things over and over again so that we might get them in, I won't call your heads hard, but get them in my hard head, that we should hear these things time and time again in that key phrase, "Oh, that men would give thanks." As we go through the message this morning, the repetition that occurs, and this is in the New Bible Commentary, that they include threatening situations, a recourse to prayer, a divine response from God, and then calls to be thankful. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning. We're going to look at different sections of this psalm, and we're going to repeat the same thing over and over again. The threat, the prayer, the divine response, and then thankfulness. And I put a question mark up there beside thankfulness, because as we go through these circumstances in the book of Psalms, I wonder if when God answered, were people thankful? And I say that because I know in my own life there's things I go through, and whenever I get on the other side of it, I have to ask myself, was I really thankful to God for that? And I think if we're all honest, I think we certainly find ourselves in those circumstances where we get through that situation. God has dragged us through, but we don't always thank Him for it. And so I hope that as we look at the repetition here in this psalm this morning, that we might be called to be thankful. The first threatening situation that we're going to see here in God's Word today is what the psalmist describes as wandering in the wilderness. Let's look to Psalm 107, verse 4. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Here's the repetition. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. As we read those verses and as we hear about people wandering in the wilderness, the first place our mind would go would be to Israel in the desert. And as I've shared a couple of weeks now in a row, that's what we're looking at in the adult Sunday school classes. We're looking at Israel out there wandering in the desert. And you know, we wonder why they couldn't get it, why they messed that up so bad. But I don't know if that's exactly what the psalmist is writing about here. The example of people wandering in the wilderness, Israel would surely fit there. But we could also think about people who are without God. What are they doing in life but wandering around? And whether they recognize it or not, that's a threatening situation for them. Because if they are wandering around without God in their lives, and God would call their number today, they would face a Christless eternity. And so that's a real threat. And so the psalmist here is writing about people who are lost in the wilderness. And you know, even as Christians, there are times, there are circumstances where we feel like we've lost our way. Where we feel like we're wandering around. And you know, I think of God's people in the desert. You know, and they wandered for 40 years. And you know, I'm sure that they wondered, where was God in all of that? You know, God reminded them that. I'd like you to hold your place here and go back to the book of Deuteronomy, because I think this is a good verse for us to hear today. Because yes, there are people wandering around without God, but then there are those of us who we call ourselves, we are God's people, but yet there's times whenever we seem lost. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 2 at what God told His people who had been wandering for years. And Moses recorded this, and he said, "For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hand. He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness." Well, I really like the way that was phrased. God knows as you're trudging through the wilderness. God didn't forget about the Israelites as they wandered through the desert. God doesn't forget about you and me as we are in those wilderness experiences of our own lives. Here Moses recorded the word of the Lord, and he said, "He knows you're trudging through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." God doesn't forget His people, even whenever we wander away. And God doesn't forget the lost sinner either. He is longing, He is waiting on them to trudge their way toward Him. And so the threat here is people who have lost their way. People who need to come to God. And the psalmist writes that whenever those facing this particular threat came to the end of their rope, we might say, that they cried out in trouble to Him. We're going to repeat something else this morning too. If you'd turn now to Psalm 50, verse 15. In Psalm 50, verse 15, the psalmist here writes about what we should do in those threatening circumstances, in those trials and troubles of life. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. So we're going to look at three more threatening situations. And we're going to come back to this verse every time because we need to pray. We need to call out to God in whatever threatening situation we might find ourselves in. And what's the promise? The promise is that God will hear, that He will deliver, and that men would glorify Him. So going back now to Psalm 107 in those verses 4 through 8, the threat was the people wandering in the wilderness. They cried out in their trouble to Him, and the psalmist writes and he says, He delivered them from their distress, He led them the right way, He gave them a dwelling place. And so we go back and we think about Israel. And we think about its journey through the wilderness. What did God do? He delivered them from their distress. He led them the right way. And when they finally trudged toward Him, He gave them that dwelling place. And so I want to raise the question to you today, will He just forget us in the middle of our wilderness? Will He just forget us in the middle of that circumstance we find ourselves in? No, the answer's simple. He won't. He may not answer exactly when we expect Him to. He may not answer how we want Him to answer, but He won't forget about us. Because we saw it there very clearly. If we cry out to Him, He will answer us. The next question is, will we be thankful? Will we be thankful for His goodness? Will we be thankful for His wonderful works? And I wonder if those people, and we talked about that some in Sunday school this morning, I wonder if people in that moment, as they were coming out of that wilderness, I wonder if they really thank God for His deliverance. And sometimes I wonder if we do too. So the first threatening situation here is wandering through the wilderness. Now we go to Psalm 107 verse 10 and we see the next threat. The next threat is what the psalmist calls darkness and the shadow of death. In verse 10, those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore He brought down their heart with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. The next threatening situation that the psalmist writes about here is he writes about people who are in prison. Some of these people, they are in prison because of a crime they've committed, but some of these people, the psalmist tells us, are bound by their rebellion or their sin. It's not necessarily prison in the sense that we would think about today, but it's a prison almost of their own making. So we have a couple of different things going on here. We again have a group of people who are imprisoned by their sin because they've chosen to not follow God and His Word. But then, you know, there are also people who follow God, who serve Him, who are imprisoned because of persecution. We can think of Peter and Paul and Silas and their prison experiences. The psalmist says that those people, whenever they come to their senses, whenever they realize the bondage that they find themselves in, they cry out in their trouble. Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The Nelson Study Bible says, those who know the Lord will call out to Him in their distress, even if it was their own rebellion that caused that distress. And I thought about Samson. Whenever we went through our series on the book of Judges, we took a couple of Sundays and we looked at Samson. And he was a difficult fellow to figure out. Because God had given him so much. But yet Samson, he put himself in his own bondage. Because he tempted and he tested God and he did things his own way and he didn't follow God's word. And we remember what happened to Samson. He lost his strength when he lost his hair. And the Philistines gouged his eyes out. And then they made him into a circus act, basically. And you remember the end of Samson's story. Here he is, he's bound in chains. He's at the end of his rope. And he's chained to pillars that are holding up a building. And what does he do? He cries out to the Lord God. And the Lord God hears him. And the Lord God renews his strength. And gives him the strength to push down the pillars that were holding up that building. And the building came down on all those Philistines and killed all those Philistines inside. It's another example of God hearing us in our time of distress. The psalmist writes and says that the divine response, God's response here, was saving people from their distress, bringing them out of darkness, bringing them out of death, breaking their chains. Look at verse 16. I didn't read that one. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. God can do that. And then the psalmist says, oh, that men might give thanks. Thanks for his goodness. Thanks for his wonderful works. And you might say, well, I've never been in prison. And maybe you've never been in a health situation where you're on the, or you're facing the prospect of death. But there have all been times whenever we've been in those situations where we're facing darkness, where we can't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and we cry out to God, and He hears us. But are we thankful? Are we thankful for His goodness? Are we thankful for His wonderful works? I mean, even as we read God's Word, do we stop and thank Him for the release that we see here in the Old Testament? Do we thank Him for the promise that He will rescue us in our times of distress? When we look at the New Testament, when we think about Jesus, are we thankful? Are we thankful to God for His goodness and for the wonderful works that came through the hands of His Son? Hold your place here and go back to the book of Isaiah in Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 verse 1, this is a verse that actually Jesus, he quotes himself in the Gospel of Luke. But listen to this prophecy about what Jesus would come and do. And boy, it would remind us that we ought to be thankful every day for what Christ has done for us. In Psalm 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That verse there tells us about the rescue that God was going to be willing to provide through His Son Jesus. And what was He going to do? He was going to break the chains of those who were in captivity. He was going to come and He was going to rescue them. And so when we find ourselves in the threatening situation of darkness or the shadow of death, we should cry out to Him. We should expect Him to hear our prayer and answer. And be thankful. The psalmist writes about another threat. The next threat is certainly one where we can see it's of a person's own making. And the psalmist is pretty direct. In Psalm 107, verse 17, I mean, it's pretty direct when you see the first word, fools. Fools. Because of their transgression, because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The next threat is transgressions. It's iniquity. It's sin that leads to affliction. The psalmist here writes about those things drawing people near to the gates of death. You don't have to turn there, but Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin are death. And so here, as we see about this foolish transgression, these are sins, these are afflictions that people have chosen for themselves, and the wages of sin are death. But in this circumstance, in this situation, these people, they cried out to God. They cried out in their trouble. And remember Psalm 50, verse 15. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. The psalmist says these people were saved from their distress. Think about that. This is a situation of their own making, and God saved them from that. What a merciful God we serve. But look at what else God does here. It says that God sent his word. This can be such a comfort to us in our times of darkness. This can be such a comfort to us in our times of transgression and sin against him. He sent his word. The psalmist also says that he healed them, that he delivered them from destruction. Warren Wiersbe says, the Lord heard their cries and stopped them at the gates and permitted them to live. They didn't deserve the blessing, but such is the mercy of God. The threatening situation here is one of people's own making. But a merciful God blesses them and delivers them out. And I wonder if when we find ourselves in these situations, are we thankful? Are we thankful for the goodness of God, for delivering us, for hearing our prayers? Are we thankful for his wonderful works? There's one more threatening situation, and it's my favorite. It's my favorite even though I'm afraid of the water and don't go out on it. But the threatening situation that's here would be as we encounter the storms of life. As we look at verse 23, in verse 23, the psalmist is writing about sailors that are headed off to sea. And the real question is, how will they handle the storm? To me, what this is about, it's about an unexpected storm in the midst of our routine. And I think we can all identify with that. That's why this one's really my favorite. Because as the psalmist writes here, the psalmist writes about men who their work is to go out and sail the high seas. That's their routine. But one of the things that's going to happen to them, regardless of how long they sail, one of the things that's going to happen to them is they are going to encounter storms. And you would think that, you know, a sailor, after they've sailed long enough, you know, they're going to know what to expect as the storm comes. They're going to know what to do. But what about whenever it's that big storm? What about whenever it's that killer storm? I mean, that's the threatening situation. How are they going to handle the storm? And the truth of the matter here is, how are we going to handle those storms that come in the midst of our routine? You know how it is. We're bebopping along through life and everything's going great. And then wham, the storm comes. And yeah, maybe we've faced storms before, but boy, this is a doozy. And how are we going to respond to it? And when that storm's all over, are we going to be thankful that we went through the storm? And you might say, Mac, that's nuts. Why would we ever be thankful to go through a storm? Listen to what the psalmist writes. Verse 23. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, they go down again to the depths, their soul melts because of trouble. This really isn't an encouragement to me to get a boat. I'm just going to tell you that right up front. Because, the psalmist is writing about, okay, here goes the seafarer out into the sea and the storm hits. And boy, they go up to the heavens and they go down to the depths and I'm getting seasick already. Oh, there's more. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. These are professional sailors who have been through storms before, and the psalmist writes and says, this is a real threat to these guys because they're being tossed all over the place. They're at their wits' end. As we face the storms of our life in the routine, again, bebopping along, everything's going fine, and whammo, here comes the storm. Have you ever felt like you're at your wit's end? They're at their wit's end. Verse 28, then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and He brings them out of their distresses. Listen to this. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet. He guides them to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Warren Wiersbe says this is one of the most powerful descriptions of a storm at sea to be found anywhere in literature. Those professional sailors are being tossed all over the place. And in their trouble, they cry out to God. One more time, Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Did you see that picture there of what God did? He saved them from their distress. He calmed the storm. He stilled the waves, and He guided them to their desired haven. He got them to their destination. Wiersbe says there are no helpless situations in God's sight. And how often do we lose sight of that fact? Do we really believe who God is? And if we believe who God is, then there are no helpless situations in His sight. And I wonder if when this storm was over, when God got them to their desired haven, as the psalmist writes, were they thankful for God's goodness? Were they thankful for His wonderful works of calming the sea and making it still and getting them to that place where they wanted to go? There's something else here for us to think about. And I'm sorry, it's another Warren Wiersbe quote, but this one just smacked me right between the eyes. Because he wrote about this example in the Psalms, and he said, nobody but the crew and the Lord saw the miracle. And that really made me think because, it's the Lord and that ship full of guys out there on the sea. The Lord saw it and they saw it. Wiersbe goes on and says, so it was up to the grateful crew to spread the word and give glory to the Lord. Oh, that men would give thanks. And that's the part that really hit me. Because as Christians, as we go through these threatening situations, as we walk through the wilderness, as we're bound or in darkness, as we put ourselves in a foolish situation, or we run into the storm in the midst of our everyday routine, and we cry out to God, and He hears us and He delivers us. You know what? It was just Him and me. that went through that storm together, that went through that threat together. Am I out there giving him glory? Am I out there doing what the psalmist would encourage us to do and giving thanks to God? Remember, this psalm was all about repetition. Oh, that men would give thanks. And where we started with the psalm was we started with the New Bible Commentary. One of the enduring delights of this psalm is repetition. Threatening situations, a recourse to prayer, divine response, calls to thankfulness. What is it that the psalmist is trying to tell us? Well, like I said, the psalmist is trying to knock it into our heads. Trying to knock it into our heads that whenever we go through these threats, there's a pattern. The pattern is that we cry out to him. The pattern is that he hears our prayers. And then that we should give him thanks. As we close this morning, I just want to make this personal. And I don't expect anybody to jump up and say anything. Whenever I say I want this to be personal, I want it to reach you right where you are this morning in the pew you're sitting in. And I want you to think about, what's the threatening situation that you're facing today? Because I think the truth is that we could all identify something in our life right now that's one of these situations like we read about here in the Psalms. It might be something, I don't want to say as simple as, it might be something like one of those unexpected storms in our routine of life. What's the threatening situation that you're facing today? It might be physical, it might be emotional, it might be spiritual. But what is the psalmist trying to tell us? The psalmist is trying to tell us, cry out to him. Will you pray? Psalm 50:15, one more time. Call upon me in the day of trouble. God wants to hear our prayers. But yet there's times where we feel like, well, I don't want to bother God with that. And part of that's because we feel like we can handle it on our own. And I think in each of these threats that we looked at, I think that's where people were. They felt like they could handle it on their own. Oh, boys, look out. See that storm coming? We've been through this before. We don't need any extra help. We don't need any prayer. But when you see the storm coming, you might not know how it's going to turn out, but what's it going to hurt to pray? And God says, call out to me. So what's the threatening situation you're facing today? Will you pray? Do you believe that God will answer your prayer? Psalm 50:15, call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you. But are you going to be satisfied with the answer he gives you? That's the next question. And you know, sometimes that's where our ungrateful hearts come in. Because we pray and we pray, God gives us an answer, but it's not the answer we wanted. God, are you listening to me? God says, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you. I can't tell you what his deliverance will be. I do know that there are times in each of our lives where we look at a threat that we faced, we look at a situation that we faced, and you know what? God didn't answer it the way we expected. But he answered it the way he willed. And then the next question is, will we be thankful? What's the psalmist trying to get in our heads here? Oh, that men would give thanks. What did Psalm 50:15 say? Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. We're called to give him thanks, regardless. And you might say, Mac, you don't know what I'm going through. No, but he does. And he's asked us to pray. He's told us that he will deliver and that we should give thanks. I walked into a store the other day, and as I walked in, there was a little sign that just caught my eye real quick. I read it. I didn't think about it. I just kept on moving. But when I got to the end of the message today, I knew why I had read that sign. Because it simply said, what if today we thank God for everything? That was it. Oh, that men might give thanks. What if today we thank God for everything? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is so very challenging. And today it's challenging with just a simple thought. Oh, that men would give thanks for your goodness, for your wonderful works. And Lord, as we look around the world and see the things that are happening near and far, some days it's really, really difficult to give you thanks. But we forget about some of the big things that you do for us every day. That you give us our next breath. That you give us the ability to see your creation. To hear the sounds of your creation. And to experience the love of family and friends, other relatives, church family, Lord. Those are things for which we can be thankful. Lord, I pray that this message would challenge our hearts. Yes, today. But throughout this month, as we look to whatever day it is we celebrate Thanksgiving with family and friends, might we choose each day to be thankful? Because the truth is, we have something to be thankful for this day, and tomorrow, and next week. And yes, even next month, once we get past Thanksgiving. Because as you gave these words to the psalmist, we're reminded that even though we go through the troubles and the challenges of life, the difficult circumstances, you've asked us to do a simple thing. Cry out to you. Know that you will answer. And then we've got through the storm, and we've got through the threat, that men might give thanks. Lord, help us today to just simply give thanks to you for everything, for all that you've done and all that you continue to do, Lord. Lord, in spite of a challenging word and a challenging message this morning, we give thanks to you for that. And pray, Lord, that you might make us a more grateful people. Grateful for those things that you have done and what you will continue to do. And we just ask this and pray these things in your name. Amen and amen.